I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, freelance editor Nick Charles, and Ken Rudin, political editor for NPR. Welcome, everybody. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, yo, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Pretty good.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, well, you know what? President Barack Obama, you know what? He delivers on a campaign promise, and he introduced Bo, the first dog this week. Now, Bo is a Portuguese water dog, a hyperallergenic breed, and unfortunately, homeboy's neutered. He was a gift from Senator Ted Kennedy, and initially, the first dude said he was looking to get a shelter dog, but a lot of people say the fix was in, and there was some talk of a conspiracy theory, and me personally, I wasn't sure this was even news. K-Dog, Special K.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I don't know if there's a conspiracy theory out there, but a lot of people say the dog came from the grassy knoll. It wasn't. I think people were watching that. But I thought Bo, I mean, look, Bo has a great history. I thought he was great in 10 with Dudley Moore. It was one of my favorite movies. And I'm excited about him.
What was the conspiracy theory? I don't know. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, because people were saying the fix was in early because this was a gift from Kennedy. But
you know a lot about this for a story you don't think is important.
but Obama had said early on he was looking to get a shelter dog. So, you know, him and Kennedy are real cool. So it's looking like, you know, Obama was just talking that talk, but he knew which way he was going to go. From the beginning, A-Train.
Well, you know,
I'm wondering yeah. who's gonna clean up when homeboy Diddle, when Bo Diddle's on the presidential rug.
Well, that's what I was thinking, and you know, being from Chicago, I'm reminded of the better Bo, Vincent Bo Jackson, one of the best dual sport athletes ever, mm-hmm. and you know, I think that when Bo makes a tinkle in the Lincoln bedroom, I hope Barack tells him that Bo, you don't know diddly.
Bo Jackson.
Well, speaking of people messing up this week, Jamie Foxx, man. Jamie.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just ask this one thing, though.
Yeah.
That I know a lot of people, Arsalan, you were among them, right, were saying, what's up with the dog? But I personally think that the news is so dramatic that people need a relief. I don't know. Ken, what do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, I think...
What's so terrible?
I think if the pirates off the Somali coast had a dog, things would have been so much sweeter there. And they wouldn't have called the seas so rough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know... Come on.
Did I hear Nick complaining?
It's so sad.
Go ahead, Nick.
It's a non-story, but at least this is the first White House appointee that doesn't have to worry about taxes. That's all I know.
Okay. Well... keeping it in motion, speaking of people messing up, Jamie Foxx messed up royally this week, and he apologized on Jay Leno for insulting singer Miley Cyrus on his show, Foxhole. Often, y'all can get it on satellite, Sirius Radio. You can also get it online some places, too, I think. And I think we got tape. Is that right, Michelle?
Yeah, we do. This is the origin. This is, apparently, Miley Cyrus said on her blog that she said something on her blog about being upset that Radiohead wouldn't meet with her backstage before the Grammys. And, you know, Miley, of course, is the star of this wildly popular show, Hannah Montana, very popular with the preteen set with, you know, really young kids like 9, 10, even younger. And this is what Jamie Foxx had to say. We are not going to play the whole bite for reasons that will become clear. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, make a sex tape.
Yeah, make a sex tape and grow
daddy.
Up.
Yeah.
Get like Britney Spears and do some heroin.
Yeah.
Do like Lindsay Lohan and start seeing a lesbian and get some crack in your pipe.
So we can start respecting you as an artist. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, that was his co-host on the program. And then Foxx, who has a 14-year-old daughter, later in the week apologized for his comments when he was asked about them on Jay Leno. And I just think it's fair to play that as well. Here it is. So.
Stop it.
There was a situation with Miley Cyrus, and I just want to say I apologize for what I said. I didn't mean it maliciously, and, you know, I'm a comedian.
I know.
You know that?
I know.
You know my heart.
I know you're a good guy.
Miley, I apologize, so I'll call you. I got a daughter too, and yeah. And so I completely understand.
And this has really been bothering you.
This is really bothering because I'm a comedian. I don't want to. Do I lose my comedic license? Oh, can I keep my comedic license? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
There you have it. But you know, all of you are fathers. Well, except Arsalan, he's a father in training. So
thanks for that, Michelle. And you know what? As I wrote about on TheRoot.com, you know, I have a daughter, and if homeboy had went at my daughter like that, I guarantee you that his prognosis would be unpredictable because I've been trying to hunt homeboy down for real. Mm-hmm. Nick, my man, what do you think? I think 16-year-olds, I think all women and kids off limits. What do you think?
Well, you know, he's saying I'm a comedian, but that's not comedian. You know, radio like that is just trashing people.
Right.
And there's no reason to go after Miley Cyrus or anybody else in that way. You know,
right.
then he remembers, oh, I have a 14-year-old daughter who actually has watched Hannah Montana, and she might be offended, so I'm going to apologize. And then he hides and says, well, you know, when I'm in the zone. That's not in the zone. It's a bunch of guys sitting around just going through newspapers and clippings and radio and TV and just trashing who they can. And then you can tell the girl to make a sex tape. I'm with you, Jimmy. You know, Billy Ray is like, he's upset. No, forget upset. Fine him.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
right.
Honestly, on behalf of the barbershop, I'm going to jump into the foxhole and give him the Redunculus Award of the Week. You are
my man.
You are Jimmy Fox. You are a grown man going after a little Disney tweeny bopper girl who said something about Radiohead, who, by the way, is way out of Miley Cyrus's league. Tom York and Radiohead were named number 73 on Rolling Stone's Greatest Artists of All Time. So this is. This is a non-story, and Jamie Foxx just gets the redunculus this week.
Well, here's my question. Go ahead, Ken.
I was just going to say, it's not even just the fact that she's underage, and that's also a problem, but under the guise of comedy, people say what they want. You
right.
know, the Don Imus thing about yeah. the natty-headed hoes.
Right.
I mean, they said, well, it's a comedy. It's not. It's comedy. It's insulting, and it's ugly. I remember a lot of people say, you know, like I a lot of times say things I wish I hadn't said. I once out loud said the words Dick Armey. I didn't even know he was a congressman, but I was I was reprimanded by that. And so you have to watch what you say at all times.
As you will
True.
Be again.
Thank you.
But well, here's my question, Jimmy. Here's my question.
Go ahead.
Is Jamie Foxx getting, I mean, he apologized, which was the stand-up thing to do, but is he getting a pass because he's a comedian, he's popular in a way that Don Imus did not? That's my question.
I don't think so. I think the same rules apply. But I get your point. I think to some degree he is getting a bit of a pass. But you know, when people start entering in this realm where they're doing culture commentary, you just have to know pick bigger targets. You know that's the rule.
Who should be picking a bigger target? Because my question is, if this mm-hmm. had been the reverse, where a white comedian had taken on and made disparaging comments about a 16-year-old young black girl like a Raven Simone. Would we have heard more about it?
I think the one thing that differentiates the Imus and the Fox thing is the racialist concept of it. When Don Imus said the nappy-headed hoes, there was definitely, whether or not it's racist, it was a racialist
Absolutely.
Connotation to it. Here, he was just dropping the B word, telling her to smoke heroin. There was no racialist, you know.
Yeah, there was.
But why isn't calling a 16-year-old the B word worthy of the same level
That's
of
sexist.
Opprobrium?
That's sexist.
And, you know, saying, you'll make sexist. A sex tape. What?
Sexist is...
So sex is okay, race is okay?
No, but what I'm... They're different. Sexism is different than racism.
He did note her color, bro.
At what point, I heard the clip.
He called her a white... Well, we didn't play that clip because
okay.
we
he
felt...
He called her a white B, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So,
well, then it changes. Obviously, you know, I didn't know that the...
That's all kind of problematic, bro.
It's all wrapped up in the fact that, you know, it's all being mean and mean-spirited.
Right.
And when you get that, you know, from Jamie Foxx, and I think, you know, after this new movie comes out, maybe he's just looking for some attention because the movie is not that good. And he's moved into this arena now with the foxhole where it's basically, you know, I'm as light or I'm as dark, if you want to call it, where he just goes after people. And going after a woman like Miley Cyrus or a young girl like Miley Cyrus, that shows the levels which people will stoop. And he's also being egged on. People forget, Imus is egged on by the people, his hangers-on, his co-hosts. And it's the same thing you can hear the people in the back with Jamie Foxx egging him on and saying the really bad stuff. And, you know, it's on him because it's his show, but these folks just say whatever they want
I just want to point out his new movie, The Soloist, when she stars, is getting a tremendous, I don't know, it's not out yet, so I don't know whether it's good or not good, but I know that it's getting a lot mm-hmm. of attention because of the story and also because of the high-powered cast. Nick, he's co-stars with Robert Downey Jr. His song is number one on the charts right now, so it's not like he needs the attention.
Right. That's why it's a redunculus award.
But the solo was something that has been postponed twice in terms of being released, and he had been upset with the studio because they hadn't released it because they didn't think it was that good.
I do think you make a good point about being egged on by co-host or whatever. There is that element of it, but I do sort of wonder why it is that people. Where's the break? Why is it that people don't understand that there are certain things you just don't say? I don't understand that.
But I also think, Michelle, to your point, that people tune into satellite radio and people like Imus, and they're listening for that provocative content. So there are certain things that are off limits, but you're tuning into the Foxhole or you're tuning into Don Imus, you're going in knowing that nothing's off limits.
Especially on satellite radio when obviously people are paying for it. It's not that it's in the public airwaves and people get insulted. You turn to satellite radio, you turn to Imus because you want to hear misogynist, sexist, racist stuff, and everybody laughs, which is part of the charm.
I take your point. It's not over the sort of the public areas. You don't just tune into it. You have to buy it. You have to have special equipment to use it to access this. I see your point. Let me just jump in just briefly to say, if you're just joining us, we're having our weekly visit with The Barbershop on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're visiting with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Ken Rudin, and Arsalan Iftikhar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Jamie Foxx jumped off sides, and you know what? Speaking of people getting off the field to play, sportscaster John Madden, he's retiring from the game this week, I believe, and we got tape, right?
We do. He said, the 73-year-old, he's been a player, a coach, and has this incredibly successful video game franchise, but I think most people know him now as a color commentator for football, and let's listen to what he said when he decided to retire. Here it is.
I decided to retire. Heck, I can't even say it, but I decided to retire, and, you know, it's tough. Not because I'm not sure it's the right time. I mean, I really feel strongly that this is the right time, but I'm just going to miss everything about it because, you know, I enjoyed it so much.
Oh, man. You can hear his heartbreaking. Thanks for that, Michelle. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned this video game. It sold 70 million copies, and it's made over $2 billion since 1989. Now, you know what? Some people say he changed football. Some people just say he changed sports broadcasting. Nick, what do you say?
You know, I say I love John Madden. I'm not an EA Sports person, so I have never played Madden, the game.
Hey, it's in the game, bro.
But I love him as a sportscaster. I love him as a football personality. I love him as somebody who always looked for the best in every play, in every player, and in every game. And my concern is that they're replacing me with Chris Collinsworth, who I'm like, he's the most cynical person I've ever heard talk about sports. He can't wait to talk bad about athletes. And John Madden was like, whether or not people were good on or off the field, he always tried to find the good in it. And I'm going to miss him.
Can I just say something?
Well, at least they're not replacing him with Dennis Miller. Go ahead, Ken.
I'm just thinking, I mean, it's almost as if John Madden were on part of the barbershop, because what we talk about here is sports and guys screaming and say no and boom and this. And we watch football and we watch the hitting. And I think Madden is just like all of us, all of this little kids who just grow up and say that we wish we could do that. And I think he's an honorary barbershop member.
Absolutely. And
I would
even go further and say that John Madden is the Vito Andolini Corleone of the National Football League. For any person who has heard the words EA Sports, it's in the game, in a college dorm room, anywhere, we need to, you know, honor the man who's given 40 years of his life. You know what I find the most interesting is the fact that he had this phobia of flying, so he took a bus to every game that he went to. That is the love of the game.
You know what I like about him is that, I'm not a huge football fan. There are just other sports that I like more and know more about. But what I like about him is that you can watch him whether you know a lot or don't know a lot and still understand and appreciate what he's saying. You know, he doesn't make you feel stupid. You know, like there are some people who you listen to, and if you haven't been watching it for 20 years and been studying every sports page, you can't follow what they're saying. And you can follow what he's saying, and you can really kind of get into it and his enthusiasm without having a deep knowledge. And you know he has it. I mean, one of the things I always thought was funny was he'll predict the play that's going to be called before it's played, and you think, how does he know? What? You know, how does he know?
Because he's mad. Right. He's John Madden. Yeah.
Well, Nick, since you don't like the choice that's stepping in for him, I mean, who would you choose, bro?
I don't know. It's a pairing. You know, it's like, you know, it's chemistry. Who would you put in there with Al Michaels? You have to find somebody who can balance. Al Michaels is very straight, the straight man. So you need somebody a little off kilter, a little with some flavor who could, you know, balance that pairing. And I don't think Chris Collinswood is it. I don't know who's out there right now. You know, I know people they're trying to groom Matt Millen, who first failed as a GM in Detroit for the Lions. Mm-hmm. But maybe he's the kind of person, the oversized kind of figure who could like make that kind of pairing.
What about Jamie Foxx?
You know what?
No, yeah.
Al Roker, but don't tase me, bro. You know, you know who I'd like to see step in. I like Brian Gumbel to get back behind the sportscaster.
Oh, not as back, color commentary, not on the
really?
Field color commentary.
No, I see it.
Bring Dan,
I see it.
Bring Dan Dierdorf back. Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf.
I have an idea. Condi okay. Rice.
She wants to be Condi Rice.
She wants to be commissioner.
I know she does, but you got to start somewhere.
Condi the commish.
Condi and Al Michaels. Can you imagine, Ken?
Well, I don't know, for people who don't know, former Secretary of State, former National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, huge football fan, fanatical football fan.
Yes,
okay,
I'm like,
you should see the looks that I'm getting here. It's like I'm like they're staring at me. I feel like my body getting cold.
I want to say one more thing about Matt. And, you know, we talk about, I mean, we watch him on TV, but for us old timers, somebody died this week, a guy named Les Kiter. And of course, you didn't see him on TV. You listened to him on the radio. Mm-hmm. But Les Kiter did the Ali Liston fight in February of 1964. Right. And I remember as a little kid there sitting and listening to that and listening. Everybody thought that Liston would knock out Ali within seconds. And you hear Kiter saying, "What is wrong with Sonny Liston? What is going on with Sonny Liston?" And of course, Liston never comes out for the bell in the seventh round and Ali becomes champion.
Right.
But I still think as a little, you know, all these years later, you think of great sportscasters who put in some kind of an influence on your life. I think of Les Kiter announcing that Ali upset in 64. I'll never forget that.
Oh, well,
that's sweet.
Wow. That is sweet. That is sweet.
I'm a sweet guy sometimes.
You are. Yeah. Write this down. Write the day down.
In small doses.
We have to leave
small
it there.
Doses.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Nick Charles is a freelance editor and writer. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor, our political junkie. He joined us from our studios in Washington. And Arsalan Iftikhar is the founder of TheMuslimGuy.com and a civil rights attorney. He was also here with us in our studios in Washington. Gentlemen, thank you.
Peace.
Thanks, Michelle.
I am sweet.
Yep, yep.